Our Bible reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true on so many levels. It's been proven true archaeologically. It is proven true because of its wisdom. It's been proven true historically. But Lord, it is true because it is the Word of God more than anything else. And so as we come to look at your Word this morning, we recognize it's a book of spiritual truth, and we need your Holy Spirit to guide us and give us understanding. And so we pray that you'll speak to us this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. So sometimes we hear the saying that there are people who are so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly use. If you looked at the word for the week in the bulletin this morning, there's an extract there from the devotional reading from Word for the Week. Sorry, Word for Today. And it's kind of funny in its own way, but if you look at it, you'll see that, yeah, there are people like that. I once read a book by a Gulf War veteran, a British Gulf War veteran, and he said that in his group there was an officer who was a Christian, and this Christian wasn't held in terribly high regard, this officer, not because he was a Christian, but because he was a dope. And so, I know that sounds harsh, but anyway, because he was useless. Because an example was they're in Iraq and they're crossing the desert, and the vehicle they're in gets stuck in the sand. So everybody piles out to start digging it out, except this officer. And he's sitting in there, and everybody else is, and you've got to remember, they're in a war zone. And so it gets to the point where the corporal calls out, "Hey, instead of sitting in there praying, come out here and help us dig." Now, there's a time for praying and there's a time for digging. And that officer didn't realize, "Hey, you know, okay, I can pray, now I can go out there and dig, or I can get out there and pray while I'm digging." He wasn't held in terribly high regard. And there are people like that, but fortunately they are very few. But as we look at the scriptures, it has a lot more to say about people who are so earthly minded that they're of no heavenly use. In Colossians 3 verse 1, we read there, "If you then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." So what does that mean? Since you have been raised with Christ, well, we need to look at things in their context. And so if we go back into chapter 2 and we read verses 9 to 13, this is what it reads, speaking of Christ initially. "For in him," that's Christ, "the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, and who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. And what that's simply saying is, because Jesus Christ is God, in him dwells all the fullness of the deity. Because he died and rose again, because we have died to sin and been given new life, because we have complete forgiveness of sins through faith and have been raised to newness of life, for all these reasons, seek the things that are above. Now, verse 2 says, set your mind on things that are above. And it's funny, I don't know why the translators have it, because it's the same word. It means to set your mind on. To make the center of your thinking, to make the focus of your thinking, things that are above rather than things that are of the earth. So set your mind, but not just set your mind on those things and sort of like, you know, you set your radio and you sort of, okay. And you press the thing and every time it comes on, it's, you know. It's not like that. It's like saying continually set your mind on things above rather than things on the earth, because it's an ongoing process. It's never, it's not just a one-off, you're sort of like, you click, okay, that's done. No, it's an ongoing process. It's something that needs to be done continuously. Why? Because we know that the evil one wants to distract us. And he will bring all kinds of things into our lives and all kinds of stuff to distract us from our worship of the Lord, our living for him, our service for him. So it says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth, not on things of the world. We talk about worldliness and we can say, well, what does that mean? And in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17, John gives us a definition. Do not love the world. Now that sounds funny, doesn't it? After all, for God so loved the world, didn't he? That he gave his only son. But of course, the world in that context is the human race. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes, the whoever relates to the world. In other words, the human race. But here, it's talking about the material world, but also the world as we think of that, what we call that influence, that evil influence that permeates society. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. The desires of the flesh, things that our sinful nature wants. The desires of the eyes, the things that we look at and inspire us to want things. And also in Colossians, the apostle goes so far as to say about coveting things. Wanting things because other people have them, or wanting things and coveting things, and he calls it idolatry. Covetousness, which is idolatry. But there's this other funny thing here. He says, and the pride of life. What does that mean? The pride of life. Well, some translations have pride in what one has and does, because the Greek word doesn't mean just life, but it means all the things that sustain life and everything else. And so it's a very good translation, although it's not literal. Pride in what one has and does. Don't dwell on those things. Don't think on those things. Don't set your mind on those things, but set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Because we have died to sin and all of those things, because we have died, we are not bound by them or to them. We're not bound by or to anything in this world. Our life is in Christ. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. In Isaiah 51, verse 6, sorry, 16, God speaks to Israel, and this is what he says: I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand. And there's that idea there of being hidden and protected in the shadow of the hand of God. If you can imagine God, you know, we're here and God puts his hand there. He protects us on so many levels. I always love it when someone can take something and people, you know, who are artistic with words. I'm not artistic with words. I'm not artistic on any level, but anyway. And hymn writer John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, said this in one of his hymns: though many foes beset your road and feeble is your arm, your life is hid with Christ in God beyond the reach of harm. And I thought, well, that is so cool. That is so good. I can't add anything to it. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. But another reason why we don't set our mind on things of this world is because they are temporary, they are passing away. But as we read in 1 John, the person who trusts in the Lord abides forever. Because we don't look just at this life, we look beyond this life. Now, during the Second World War, when the Nazi regime ruled most of Europe, and Jews were marched into concentration camps, there was one guy, an Austrian guy named Viktor Frankl. And Viktor Frankl was a psychiatrist. And after the war, he decided to do research. He was survived, obviously, and he decided he would do research into why was it that some people in those camps just gave up and just died, just wasted away and died, while others struggled on and kept going. And he came to this conclusion. He said that the people who survived had a hope in something bigger than themselves, outside of themselves and outside of their situation. He said it might have been the hope of seeing family. It might have been the hope of a new start when it was all over. But that was the thing. A hope in something bigger than themselves, outside of themselves, and outside of their situation. We have a hope in Christ that goes out, that is outside of ourselves, bigger than ourselves, outside of our circumstances, outside of this world in a sense. And so we have a hope for the future. We have a hope for eternity. Now, in Romans 3:23, we read there, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But if we go to Romans 8, reading verses 28 to 30, we read these words, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Verse 30. "And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." Did you notice that it's all written in past tense? Right. "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but through faith in Christ, we can become partakers of the glory of God. And when Christ appears in his glory, we shall appear with him in glory." We are on a journey. We are on a journey from being born again to glory. Glory is our destination. We are destined for glory. It is already set. You notice it's written in past tense because in the mind of God it's already accomplished. Those whom he predestined and those he justified, he also glorified. Paul wasn't just writing about past Christians, wasn't writing to us, but he was writing for us. And so we are destined for glory. That is our destination in life. And so that helps us not only to have hope beyond this life, but it also helps us as we go through life to keep everything else in the right perspective. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that our Lord Jesus died for us. We thank you that through faith we are justified, we are pronounced not guilty. You've called us to be yours. You've set our destination. We are destined to share your glory. We are destined to appear in glory when our Lord Jesus Christ appears in his glory and we shall appear with him. Lord, we thank you that we have a hope that goes beyond this world, beyond this life. Lord, we thank you and we praise you that we are destined for glory and we can only say thank you. Amen.